I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Headed down the final stretch here for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. Hope you're enjoying it as we are recording today on a Thursday, but coming to you for your listening pleasure, as we like to say, on Saturday morning. Tim Hughes, and along with me this week, by the way, Russ had to drop off. He had some business come in at the shop there for Sky Call. He's getting busy, which is a good sign. That means a lot of people are getting out and doing a little stress reduction, I think, to enjoy some time in the outdoors and do it safely with a satellite phone. But Bob and Mark are here, road tripping with Bob and Mark. You can check out their podcast, or you can find them on Facebook for a lot of beautiful video that they have done with both photos and with a video shot from drones and other things. But guys, I've really enjoyed following you. We're specifically talking this week, though, about Cedar City and the things to do around Cedar City. And I think most people, as I mentioned in the last segment, this seems to be a part of the state that people just blow right past on the way to somewhere else, to St. George or to get to Salt Lake City or up north to do some skiing and forget about. But man, just about anything you'd want to do in the outdoors is available right there.
It is. You know, it's you know, Cedar City has become known as the festival city over the years for obvious reasons with the Utah Shakespeare Festival. But this used to be the hub and still is, but as once was known as the main hub to Zion, Bryce, and the North Rim of the Grand Canyon. The Union Pacific Railroad pulled in to hear the old depot is still in town. They'd unload here, stay in the Hotel Escalante, and then load up on those old jammer buses and take them up to the three parks. So it is central to all these amazing surrounding natural attractions, but it's also a developing recreation destination for mountain biking, 600 miles of off-road trails, and they have a lot of new infrastructure here within the town. They have a really great urban fishery up on Lay Hill. We went up there earlier this morning, saw several fishermen around the shore and also in float tubes out in the middle of it. So this is really an evolving city. There's so much more to do here.
Mark, you want to? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, oh, we've been hosted by the El Rey Motel, and we want to kind of interject that here. They've been a great host to us. We're right on Main Street. We're close to the downtown area where there's a lot of restaurants. And Bob, I think you can talk to the fact that this is really becoming a great place to come and have a meal for lunch, dinner, breakfast, whatever you'd like. There's a lot of great restaurants here.
A lot of new restaurants. You know, we have some of our favorites. So, you know, and we're checking them out while we're here. But it's real close to the Southern Utah University campus and to the Shakespeare Festival. So there's a lot of restaurants that are kind of developing right here in the downtown area. And so it's creating this foodie culture here. So, you know, if you're into that, if you're looking for great restaurants in an area where you're close to so many national parks and recreation areas, this is a really great place. And I got to tell you, this is the season of deals, because you're going to find a lot of amazing deals on hotels and other tourism type of services this season.
What do you know about the mountain biking in that area?
Well, they've got mountain biking trails here in the canyon area, just near the city itself, but out in the Three Peaks area, which is west of town. If you go out further west, they also have a large series of off-road trails, but also mountain biking trails, a lot of single track. So these are new trails that I haven't ridden myself yet, but I intend to come back up and try them out. But I know Maria Twitchell with the tourism office has really been touting those, and you can find a lot of that information on their website at visitcedarcity.com.
I mentioned in our news of the week this morning that Vail Resorts had announced the beginnings of their summer season, which for Park City is going to be on Thursday, kind of a weird day, but Thursday, July 2nd. Are they open down there at the ski resort for their summer season?
From what I know, Brian Head opens June 26th, and this is a premier mountain bike destination. I worked there as a marketing director early in my career back in the early 90s and just fell in love with the trails. Lots of great single track trails that start at the top. What's nice about Brian Head, you get shuttled to the top of Brian Head Peak at over 11,000 feet and descend a vertical mile down into the Parowan area or down towards Panguitch. And it takes a lot of the work out. Unless you want to reverse that and then climb it, you can have all the work you want. But then they have a great mountain bike park at the resort itself.
Yeah. And I've done that. I've done that ride, Tim, from the top of Brian Head Peak all the way to Panguitch Lake. And it is a screaming zoom all the way down. And at the very end of it, you're having these beautiful mountain ride, single track ride down through the forest. But at the end, it was whoop-de-doos.
Yeah, and the whoop-de-doos are fun.
I remember riding with a guy that was a good rider. And I think he was a little surprised that I was hanging with him. We were doing 35 miles an hour and just flying off these whoop-de-doos.
My gosh. It was great. How do you get back to where you started from if it's all downhill?
You can either ride back or your shuttle services. Georgia Ski Shop in Brian Head offers a shuttle service. They'll come and pick you up. Or if you're one of the more ambitious, then you can turn your bike around and ride back up.
I'm not that ambitious anymore. One of the reasons we love to play at Deer Valley is the lift serve that will take you to the top. And, you know, you can pick some of those mid-mountain trails at Deer Valley anyway that will give you a little bit of a climb and get your heart rate up. But, you know, you're not going to be dying or walking your bike through most of it, which tends to make for a long day and not be that much fun.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in the same boat there. I just prefer the path of least resistance.
And Tim, I'm just going to throw in here, too, that between Cedar City and Brian Head, you've got the historic town of Parowan. Yeah. And Parowan is a great little destination in and of itself. Bob and I were there yesterday. We had the best mushroom and Swiss burger with giant onion rings. Ooh. It was the best we've ever had. And it was there right at Hamburger Patties in Parowan. And then they have a new tradition the last several years. Lots of different businesses are making cinnamon rolls, and they have the best cinnamon rolls in the West. And you can go from many of the stores in downtown Parowan and pick up a cinnamon roll any time of year.
Oh, my gosh. I was just looking at a list of some of the trails. Is it the Arapine Trail that passes through there? It is, isn't it?
The Arapine Trail. I don't know. Didn't that start out of the Richfield area?
It goes for quite a while.
No, that's out of San Pete, isn't it?
You know, I probably shouldn't even have brought it up if I didn't know the answer to it. I just know that we have done some ATVing through there. And, of course, when we went border to border, we passed through there. But for me to know exactly what trail we were on, I didn't have to worry about it because we had a great guide who made sure we didn't make any wrong turns. But there are a lot of places to play on 50-inch trails if you have ATVs or a small side-by-side?
There are, especially up on the plateau, between Brian Head and Duck Creek Village, miles and miles of great scenic trails that go through the Dixie National Forest. It also, at some point, it interconnects with the Paiute ATV trail. So endless miles of trails by machine or by bike. There's just endless. I mean, you can never run out of things here to do. A lot of great camping. From here is Canary Creek Falls. That's just before Colop Canyons. You know, that's one that needs a permit now. They allow 150 people per day. You got to get those permits in advance. They're $12 per permit. Mm-hmm. It's become so popular. So they can get that information, I believe, on Cedar City site.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, that's just a wonderful trail to get in and out of. And it's so nice of a trail to get in and walk through water into a slot canyon. It's one of the more unique, quicker experiences.
And it's family-friendly, so yeah, you can take your family through there.
I don't want to change the topic too much, but I have to ask you this while I'm thinking about it, because I posted it on our Facebook page hoping you guys would maybe have been to this place. There was a big headline a couple of weeks ago, speaking of food, that the Oscars of food had honored a Southern Utah restaurant called Hell's Backbone Grill and Farm. Have you been there?
Yeah, that's on Highway 12 in the town of Boulder. It's at the Boulder Mountain Lodge. And it is a great restaurant. In fact, it's one of the most awarded restaurants in the state of Utah. Yeah. It's two ladies there. They grow, they have their own organic garden. Everything is local. Their beef is local. Everything is grown locally. And it is, it's one of those restaurants where you have to cleanse your palate in between entrees.
They bring you sorbet, so you can do
that. They sorbet. I remember the first time I went to a restaurant that had sorbet, I go, dessert already? I'm not.
No, but this year, the James Beard Foundation nominated Hell's Backbone for the best chef in the mountain region, which includes Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Utah, and Wyoming. The winner isn't going to be announced till this fall, I guess, around the end of September. But they call it the Oscars of food, so I wanted to pick your brain a little bit. It looks like a absolutely beautiful little spot.
Oh, it is. They're right next to their own wetlands there at the lodge. It is a gorgeous little place. It's a little oasis along Highway 12. It's between Escalante and Torrey. Before you, either if you're going east or you're going through the town of Boulder and then up over Boulder Mountain and down to Torrey. And it is a beautiful little valley there.
Yeah. Well, sadly, we're just about out of time. But tell everybody where to find more information about what you guys are seeing and doing this week in Cedar and where they can find your podcast for some other great videos that might pique their interest.
Yeah, well, you can find everything you need to know about Cedar City by going to visit cedarcity.com. And we'll be posting our information that we're writing about from this trip at roadtrippingwithbobandmark.com.
All right, guys. We appreciate you guys joining us so much. Hat, sounds like you need a little nap after doing your nighttime video or photo shoots last night, but you've got a lot on your calendar for the rest of the week. So we'll look forward to the next time we connect, and Bob will talk more about reviving our one-tank trip of the week.
Sounds great, Tim. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll make that connection with Navidomskis, who is checking in on the satellite phone from Lake Powell this week, somewhere on Lake Powell. Don't go away.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Final couple of minutes of the show this week, and we've made a connection, at least temporarily, with Navidomskis, who is down at Lake Powell in an undisclosed location. Russ, he's on one of the satellite phones, and these are always a little bit tricky, particularly if you're down in those canyons. But, Navi, you said you did a little hiking to try and get a better view of the sky, huh?
Well, I actually went on a really big hike this morning, and then I got my rocket chair perched on a cliff where I could have a conversation, and then all of a sudden I looked and it couldn't find a satellite. So I hiked up across the canyon so I could be up above it. And then I sat there for, I don't know, 45 or something, and then I thought, well, I must not be able to make connections, so I'm walking back to the houseboat when you rang.
Well, I told you 12:15. It's 12:22, so that would have been 7 minutes ago. But you lose track of time when you're at Lake Powell on a houseboat. That's one of the reasons you do this as a family vacation.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking at the phone on the Meridium, and it says 12:50.
Oh.
But no worries.
Yeah. Tell us about your week. You got your boat in Bullfrog. Where did you go from there?
We went down to Escalante. We found a cool cove in Escalante. We parked a houseboat and caught a whole lot of fish, did a lot of paddleboarding. Fishing was phenomenal. Right now, it's not undisclosed, we're in a canyon called Llewellyn Canyon. And we're way at the very top. There's some petroglyphs up here. And we're just parked on the cliffs and, you know, just having a good time, eating too much food.
Yeah, the weather's probably been perfect for you, hasn't it?
Oh, it's really great. I mean, we get some wind, there's no question. I don't like sleeping on the house, but I like sleeping on the rocks. And a windstorm came up and put dust in my wife's mouth. So she's still mad at me about that. But everything was great. You know, Have you already done your fish pipes today?
No. Well, we've done it, but go ahead and tell us about what's happening there.
Well, I made some new patterns. We were targeting those stripers, so I made some patterns that look like the shad, and I got one that's doing really good. We call it the disco ball, and another one we call COVID-20. It's doing really good on the largemouth.
What does the COVID-20 look like?
It looks like a shad. I mean, it's got sequins. I went to a store and got silver sequins on a string, and I pushed them around the side, and it got some legs, some black boots, and a big eyeball. And it's the snorkel.
We're starting to lose you. Make sure you're standing still if you're moving around. And if we lose you, we're not going to have an opportunity to get back connected with you there. Oh, shoot. Russ, this happens from time to time. Down there at Lake Powell, Navidomskis checking in with the Sky Call satellite phone.